11 o'clock at KOIN in Portland.
Identified a new contract to end a 24-day-old strike. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS Radio Network. Latest reports say the miners have agreed to accept the contract, and it appears it will be signed Thursday by Arnold Miller, the president of the United Mine Workers Union. Most of the striking 120,000 miners will not be back on the job before Monday. The contract includes pay raises of about 17% spread over 3 years. The coal strike has had considerable effect on several key industries. About 25,000 workers in the steel and railroad industries have been idled. More news in a moment.
If you enjoy wine with your meals, here's something you should know about wine before meals.
Before then, the time to think about some Duvernay to drink before a meal by day or night. It helps to whet your appetite before, yeah, before. It's the time before the Duvernay.
Most wines go with your meals, but Duvernay goes before. Think of it as an appetizer, a wine that helps to whet your appetite. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. Dubonnet Before, made to make what comes after that much better. Dubonnet. It all started in France, of course.
Before, yeah, before. It's the time before Dubonnet.
A product of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
Two members of the Ford administration said Wednesday that inflation now appears to be easing somewhat and that the economy will probably start snapping out of the recession early next year. But economic advisor Alan Greenspan and Treasury Secretary William Simon said unemployment will likely worsen in the near future. Simon also said stronger action is needed to reduce gasoline consumption. He said this could mean a return to the allocation system that led to long lines at filling stations last winter. The Agriculture Department has announced proposed new regulations that would require poor people to spend more money to get food stamps. The action would save the government at least $645 million a year, but it could mean harder times for many poor people, according to Jeff Kirsch of the Center for Social Welfare Policy.
Well, it's a crushing blow to a lot of people in the country, especially the elderly, blind, and disabled, who are living on fixed incomes. It's going to force a lot of people, if it goes through, it'll force a lot of people to drop out of the food stamp program.
The plan means people receiving food stamps would have to spend about 30% of their monthly incomes to get food stamps. They now spend about 23%. Doctors for former President Richard Nixon said Wednesday he is making satisfactory progress in his recovery from phlebitis and will soon be able to increase his physical activity. Mr. Nixon's doctors say they see no change in the long period of convalescence that prevents him from testifying at the Watergate cover-up trial in Washington. At the trial on Wednesday, there was testimony about an offer from Mr. Nixon to his two top aides. Jed Duval reports.
Then-President Nixon, in mid-April of last year, offered the two men closest to him a cash fund of $200,000 to $300,000 for legal fees. This came out in court as Prosecutor Richard Benveniste read from the transcript of April 17, a tape that has not been played in court. Benveniste quoted Mr. Nixon, speaking to H.R. Haldeman and John Ehrlichman, as saying, "There is a way we can get it to you. You will have to do it in cash." And later, in a reference to his friend Charles Beebe Rebozo, Mr. Nixon says, "I told Beebe to be sure that people who have contributed money during the contributing years are favored." Haldeman, on the stand during cross-examination, did not challenge the text, but said it left a misimpression, an unsavory connotation, noting both he and Ehrlichman turned down the offer. Today, Haldeman will continue on the stand, and sometime during the day, Judge Sirica will announce his decision whether to hold up the trial to wait for the testimony of the former president. Jed Duval, CBS News at Federal Court in Washington.
Now this message.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sinoff Sinus Spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sinoff Sinus Spray. When sinus flares up, use Sinoff tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sinoff.
Exactly.
Sinoff, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
President Ford met at the White House on Wednesday for about 2 hours with Canadian Prime Minister Trudeau. Both men expressed satisfaction with their talks. One subject they covered was Canada's decision to phase out oil exports to the United States. Several members of Congress have urged the president to take action against Canada because of those plans. This is Doug Poling, CBS News.
The U.S. government today began paying the Klamath Indians $49 million for their 135,000-acre reservation. But most of the 620 tribal members, some of whom will get over $100,000 in cash, stayed away the first disbursement day, claiming that many newsmen on hand at the bank were invading their privacy. The American Medical Association, which concluded its national convention here in Portland today, has come out in support of a national health insurance plan, provided workers aren't made to participate in it against their will. Oregon Congressman Al Ullman seems the likely successor to Wilbur Mills as chairman of the powerful House Ways and Means Committee. Mills is in a Maryland hospital for treatment of an undisclosed ailment. Retiring Oregon Governor Tom McCall and Governor-elect Robert Straub meet on the Oregon coast this weekend to discuss the orderly transition of states next month. Oregon's new anti-obscenity law goes into effect tomorrow, but vibrations from around the state hint that district attorneys plan no mass crackdowns on adult bookstores and movie houses. 97 Sports in the NBA tonight, a game played earlier here on KOIN. The Portland Trailblazers were defeated by the Washington Bullets in Landover, Maryland tonight, 114-87. Elsewhere around the league, these are all final scores. Philadelphia 109, Kansas City Omaha 105, Boston over Los Angeles 101-90, Detroit beat Houston tonight 86-69, and Seattle won another one on the road, this time against Milwaukee 112-103. In college basketball, the University of Portland beat Newcastle, Australia tonight, 88-76. Weather for Portland, Vancouver, cloudy tomorrow morning, becoming partly sunny in the afternoon, then increasing clouds tomorrow night with a chance of rain again on Friday. Lows near 40, highs about 50, south winds 5 to 15, and the chance of rainfall 10% tomorrow, then 20% tomorrow night. Currently in downtown Portland, we have 52 degrees at KOIN. The time is 11:08. The CBS Radio Mystery Theater is next.
KOIN!
The CBS Radio Mystery Theater presents... I'm E.G. Marshall, practitioner of the seventh oldest profession, storyteller, spinner of tales, weaver of dreams, especially those that are dark and foreboding. An ancient poet wrote, "Forgetfulness, sweet and blessed forgetfulness, is the most precious gift of the immortal gods. For the innocent to forget, and for the guilty to be forgotten, is to receive, finally, the benediction of amnesia, the sweetest spirit of all. For amnesia sits patiently beside the never-ending stream of time, bestowing her largesse on the innocent and the guilty alike."
Jerry? Jerry?
Eric? What's wrong?
I'm in trouble.
Well, what kind of trouble?
I'm scared. Scared stiff.
Now, whatever it is, kid, I'll stand by you. Now, what did you do?
I killed a man.
All right, kid. Now, who was it?
A man named Jamie Parsons.
Who?
They said his name is Jamie Parsons.
Oh, Eric. How could you kill Jamie Parsons?
I did. I shot him 10 minutes ago.
No, kid, you didn't. Now, how could you? Jamie Parsons has been dead for 50 years.
Our mystery drama, A Bride for Death, was written especially for the Mystery Theater by Sam Dan and stars Tony Roberts. It is sponsored in part by Buick Motor Division and Sinoff, the sinus medicines. I'll be back shortly with Act One.
When you drink beer, do you tilt the glass for long, hearty swallows? Or just tip it and sip it? Well, sipping's the thing for wine, but Budweiser beer is a hearty drink, brewed for zest and character. The best way to enjoy Bud is to drink it. Not chug a lug, just man-sized beer drinker swallows. That's when that famous Budweiser taste, smoothness, and drinkability really come through. Smoothness and drinkability that come only from natural carbonation and exclusive beechwood aging. Smoothness and drinkability, too good for any half-hearted sipping. So drink up. You'll see that brewing beer right does make a difference. And that when you say Budweiser, you've said it all. Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis.
The Marines are looking for a few good men. Men who want to learn good jobs. And today, a qualified man can choose the direction he wants to go in the Marine Corps. Choose the kind of skills he wants to learn. Like computers, aircraft maintenance, or electronics, radio communications, food services, aviation technology. You name it, Marines do it. If you want to learn it, the Marines will teach you skills, responsibility, and leadership in any field you can handle. Remember, qualified men can choose their own directions in the Marine Corps. Skills to learn, careers to build in many directions. The Marines are looking for a few good men who want to choose their own directions, want to learn good jobs, want to be Marines.
Still a young and boisterous country, filled with optimism and high spirits. At least we like to think we are. And we endorse positive thinking. We're convinced that the pot of gold lies at the end of the rainbow, and that sterling silver lines every cloud. And so our language has no word to match one that is so familiar to the Germans, Weltschmerz, which means a melancholy weariness with the futility of life. Which is not to say that we don't encounter it here and there. We do. But it's not really what you could consider a mainstream affliction.
Well, good morning, Martha.
Oh, I'm just taking your pancakes off the griddle.
Well, that's life. You know what life is? Timing. Now, you be there at that exact split second.
Now, that's enough, Jerry. Two philosophers in this house at one time is more than I can put up with.
Shakespeare down yet?
And don't call him Shakespeare.
Well, why not? He's a poet, ain't he?
Oh, here. Feed your face and give us a rest.
Okay. You tell me. Now, here's a boy, 25 years old. He's been to college. Means he's got brains. He's good looking. Means he's got no problem with women.
Jerry.
Hmm?
I'm worried about Eric.
Worried? We're crying out loud. What's his problem?
Oh, I don't know.
Well, it doesn't help that he can come running to his big sister any time he needs
it. It's just that, I don't know, he feels rejected.
Rejected? Why, that boy is welcome wherever he goes.
No, Jerry. He's actually being rejected by the editors. He sends his poetry into a magazine, and back it comes with a rejection slip.
Well, I read some of those poems, and I couldn't make head or tail out.
Oh, what do you know?
Well, I know what I like. Know what he ought to do? He should get a job.
He's trying to find himself.
Oh, I pass.
Good morning.
Oh, Eric, you're just in time for breakfast.
I only want some coffee.
You can tell that this is a city boy.
Eric, you really ought to have a good breakfast. Sugar and fresh cream, Eric.
I'll take a black. I've got this headache.
Oh, look, you better see a doctor.
No, he doesn't need a doctor. He needs to have a good time, a regular little hell. Hey, why don't you come with us, Eric? You're into the dance at the Grange Hall tonight. Put your arm around a pretty girl, the whole world is different.
I wish the whole world could be different.
Harriet, you just can't get serious at this hour in the morning. You're going out for a ride. Saddle up Duke or Admiral, and you just look at that sky, and you just breathe that air and enjoy that sun. And you know how you feel? I remember that poem you once recited when you were a kid. And you'll say it again. God's in his heaven, and all's right with the world.
I wandered lonely as a cloud that floats on high or... Oh, do. Hold it. Hold it, boy.
I can't be. Can't be.
It's a mirage. Stay here, Duke. There's plenty of nice grass. Have your lunch. I have to find out about this. It's incredible. Out here? This type of architecture? Out here?
Jamie, darling, I knew you'd come.
I'm sorry. I'm not Jamie.
Oh, I see. I've been waiting for Jamie to come back from the war.
The war?
Yes, the war. And now I know. Now I know who you are.
Well, who am I?
You're Jamie's best friend, his buddy in the fight. Jamie fell and he died in your arms, and with his dying breath, he made you swear to come and tell me I'm the only one he ever loved.
But
after I've finished crying for Jamie, you and I will fall in love.
I almost wish that were true, but that's not what happened. I was just riding by, and I was struck by the look of the house.
Were you?
It's fantastic. This ornate late Victorian architecture is so perfectly preserved.
You like it?
It's fascinating.
Well, I think it's just too much gingerbread. Granddad built it. I've never seen you around here.
I'm visiting. Jerry Carraway's my brother-in-law.
You can't mean Jerry. You mean Oscar.
No.
Oscar Carraway owns the farm over on Stillwell Creek.
I think that's what they call it.
Well, that's Oscar. Jerry can't be anybody's brother-in-law. He's hardly a year old.
I suppose we're talking about two different people.
Now, if you're kin to the Carraways, I am going to invite you to come inside and have a nice cool glass of lemonade.
Well, thank you.
Come on into the parlor, and we'll sit. I don't know what is the matter with me. My name is Julia Sanford.
And I'm Eric Mills. I can't get over this.
What?
The way this place is furnished, and that phonograph.
Oh, yes, everything is the latest from all the way over to Omaha.
Everything is so authentic. And I think the telephone is a great final touch.
Well, it's just an ordinary old telephone.
Old is right. Well, it's practically an antique. They used to have those about the 1920s. I've seen them in the movies.
Do you like movies?
Well, some of them.
What's your favorite?
Well, I have my own taste. I mean, my favorite movie happens to be, don't laugh, Birth of a Nation. Saw it at a retrospective in the museum.
We saw that in town at the Bijou.
Do you have a theater that shows old pictures?
Old pictures, new pictures, any kind.
Everything here is so,
So what?
That one word, it just covers everything. Authentic. Even your dress.
Oh, it's just a silly old...
Well, you know, nowadays there's no style, there's no set style. The girls dress any which way, but yours is definitely 1920-ish.
Well, I should hope so. Dad's taking me shopping to Omaha as soon as I get back from Washington. Oh, do you like politics?
No, definitely not.
Oh, don't you ever say that in front of Dad. I told you Dad's in Washington visiting with President Wilson. And he...
But Wilson isn't the president.
Oh, that's right, he isn't. I can't get used to the idea of that new one, Mr. Hardin. Mr. Warren Gamaliel Hardin.
there's a mouthful for you.
But,
Dad was against him at the convention.
The way you talk, I almost believe you.
Why, you can read it in the newspapers. Dad is an important man. He's going to run for governor. You just ask Mr. Calloway if that's not so.
No. What I mean
is... Oh, I hope it didn't sound like bragging on my part.
Everything is so...
You don't believe... You don't believe a word I say. All right, now here. Now just read it for yourself in yesterday's paper. Now what does that headline say?
This is the Rocky Mountain Advocate and Messenger, July 18th, 1921. Even the newspaper? It's so carefully preserved.
Preserved? Why would anyone want to preserve a copy of the silly old Abner's? You'd always get a fresh one the next day.
Oh, if only this period had never passed away.
You know, I don't understand half the things you say, but I love to listen.
Do you suppose that I could call on you again?
Oh, well,
I understand. There's a dance at the Grange Hall. How would you like to go?
I'd love it.
Great. I'll pick you up.
No. I better not.
Why?
Jamie? We're engaged, and it wouldn't be right for me to go to a dance with another man.
But Jamie's been missing in action, you say, and...
Yes, and everybody says he's dead.
I'm sorry.
And if I went to a dance with someone else, it would be my way of saying to the world that I thought he was dead, too, and I don't want to say that. I just don't want to say that.
Julie... I don't think people would say that...
You better not stay here any longer.
Julia, if I said anything...
Please go. I must ask you to leave.
But Julia...
Please!
Supper in a half hour, Jerry.
Mmm, that smells great. Now, whatever do you put in your stew?
Cooking is my business.
I have to hand it to you, Martha. It's a miracle business. Now, evidently, it's done wonders for Eric. He's chopping wood. He's humming a tune.
Eric?
Yeah, as happy as a jaybird.
Oh, what's got into him?
Your cooking. Now, what else?
Oh.
Hello, folks. How's our happy little homestead?
Eric, darling, are you all right?
No, I'm not all right. I'm magnificent, spectacular.
What's gotten into you?
Well, the French say, cher chez la femme.
Oh, you be quiet.
Oh, he's right.
Oh? Well, who is she?
Well, there may be one or two little complications there, but nothing I can't handle. Why didn't you tell me?
Tell you what?
Tell me you had a museum here.
Museum? Oh, there ain't no
museum. It's a wild place, and it's a gem. It's authentic to the tiniest detail.
Eric, please tell us what you're talking about.
Dedicated to the 1920s.
What is?
This museum.
Oh, but there isn't any museum.
Yes, there is.
Where?
Oh, come on now. Quit pretending. She works there. I suppose she's the curator.
Who?
Her name is Julia.
Julia?
Oh, you'd know who she is, Jerry, because she has to be the prettiest girl in town.
Eric, this museum, just tell us where it is.
But it's down the road from here. It can't be more than 2 miles. It has the most beautiful garden and lawn. And the house is a perfect example of late Victorian. I think it's called the Sanford House. It's the most beautifully kept... What are you looking at me like that for?
Eric... The Sanford House is an old ruin. It's falling apart.
Oh, but I was...
And it's so overgrown that if you didn't know it was there, you couldn't even see it from the road.
No, I was just inside, and it was...
Eric, are you sure that you...
I was. I was inside the most beautiful...
Now, you think you'd better see a doctor, Erica?
But I was.
Eric, do you want us to ride back there with you and... And prove it.
Are you saying that the girl, the house, that the... was all a dream? But I wasn't dreaming. I know, I wasn't dreaming.
And he wasn't, because we were there too. Unless it's possible that we were dreaming also. Well, every young man should have a wonderful girl of his dreams... And it's just fine, if that's where she stays.
It's when she materializes that you can run into a problem. I shall materialize again shortly with Act Two.
There's a fresh new spirit sweeping the land. A spirit of honesty and integrity. A free spirit. A spirit that demands products which fill your utilitarian needs while satisfying your good taste and your desire for economy. We at Buick have felt the spirit and are dedicated to your sense of freedom. Our crisply designed, solidly built 1975 Buicks will bring joy even to the most demanding of free spirits. The 1975 Buick Electra, LeSabre, Riviera, Century, Skylark, Apollo, and the gutsy new Buick Skyhawk are dedicated to the free spirit in just about everyone. Hey, there's an exciting new attitude at Buick. Take advantage of it at your local Buick dealer. Hi, dear, I'm home.
Will the defendant please rise?
Now, wait a minute. I'm sorry I'm a little late, but...
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
I worked late, and the traffic was heavy, and I stopped for a drink at Rocky's.
The accused is charged with breach of promise and willful negligence.
Okay, so it's 7:15, but you have to make a big federal case out of it.
The defendant is found guilty as charged.
Close the court at your house. Cancel the trials. Stop appointing each other as both judge and jury. Hear where the other is and work through the hassles together. And forgive a little, as God forgives a lot. A nudge toward respecting others from the Mennonite churches.
To the past? Or put it this way, what is the past? Is it a record or an impression? Does it exist only as a rapidly receding and fading memory? Or does it maintain a solidity and a substance? Who has not remarked at least once, "Where has the time gone?" Does this mean we really believe that time goes somewhere? If so, where? Eric Mills is convinced he has found the answer.
I know. I wasn't dreaming.
Maybe you were, Eric.
Everything was so real.
All this is coming out of your head. It's your fantasy.
But everything was so... I keep saying the word, authentic. She even knew your father's name, Jerry. Oscar.
Well, it's like Martha says, Harry. Now, this is what you know, and...
I never knew your father's name was Oscar.
Of course you did. Not consciously, perhaps, but
I can swear I saw...
Yeah, yeah, Eric, yeah. Now, you did see it. Now, you wanted to see it. You know what I mean? I mean, for some reason, you got a notion that life was better in the 20s.
Wait a minute. Wait. 1920. Remember, Eric? Do you remember?
Remember what?
The Bartlesby Tavern and Inn.
No.
Oh, you do. Up in Connecticut. Mom and Dad took us there every summer.
What does this have to...
There was that poem printed on the wall.
What poem?
About the year 1920. The year the tavern was built.
I don't remember anything about it.
Oh, sure. Look, you weren't even 4 years old, and I recited the poem. And you were able to memorize it just from hearing me read it once. Oh, Mom thought you were a genius.
I don't know what you're talking about, Martha.
Listen, now, I was built in 1920 in a time of peace, as a place of plenty. Let no care or trouble enter. Finish it for me, Eric.
For love and joy are at my center.
You see?
Well, what does that prove? I mean, that I could make up a whole thing about being back in the 20s?
You could do anything.
Jerry.
What I mean is, with his imagination, anything is possible.
Yes, and you've talked about the 20s.
Oh, maybe I have.
As a writer, as a poet, would you have rather lived then? or now?
Oh, hey, now, what kind of question is that? He'd be dead now if he lived back then.
He knows what kind of question it is.
Whatever you say, I know where I was this morning.
Yes, Jerry. Where you always wanted to be, back in the 20s, when it was easier to be a poet.
Martha, everything is relative to when you were alive.
But you'd rather have been alive when Hemingway was young, with Fitzgerald. You'd want to be in Paris with Gertrude Stein and Picasso. You feel that people like them would be more apt to notice your worth than the people of today.
Well, what if that's true?
What if it's true?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the 20s were a more exciting time to be alive, but does that mean that I could just conjure them up? It's real. It's real. I knew it was real. Come in.
Well.
Just for a little while.
All right, but just a little while.
Julia, I had to come back to you.
Eric, if you're going to start that kind of talk, I'll have to ask you to leave. Right now. After all.
After all.
After all, I am an engaged girl. Oh, listen. Isn't that a swell number? I promised Dad I wouldn't use that word.
What word?
Swell. Dad hates slang.
Julia, may I ask you a question?
Hmm?
What year is this?
What kind of a question is that?
Oh, please, Julia.
Only this morning you saw the paper.
What year is it?
Is there a reason why you wouldn't know?
Could you tell me?
It is July 19th, 1921.
Are you sure of that? What's that?
What's what?
Don't you hear it?
All I hear is a train.
That's what I mean, the train. There hasn't been a train here in...
What are you saying? It's the ODP.
The ODP?
The Omaha, Denver, and Pacific, silly. Everybody knows... Are you sure you're all right?
Yes. Yes, I'm sure.
You know, this afternoon I promised you a glass of lemonade. I think you could use some refreshment now. Excuse me.
I heard it. I know I heard it. Wait a minute. Hello?
Hello?
Information, please.
I can give you any information you want.
You have a number for Mr. Jerry Carraway.
Jerry Carraway? Well, I know Oscar spoils that child something fierce, but he ain't about to give a year-old baby a phone number of his own. Do you want Oscar's number?
What's the number of the movie theater in town?
Oh, why do you want to know?
I want to find out what's playing.
Well, ask me. I should know. There's a picture called Intolerance with just the greatest...
Oh, no. No.
What do you mean, no? I'm telling you what's playing at the movie theater.
I mean, it's wonderful.
That's what I heard. But a lot of folks say it's a little too serious. Now, over at Council Falls, they got a funny comedy with a Fatty Arbuckle. Now, he is a scream.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Anything else you want to know?
I promise you won't laugh.
Well, if it's funny, I can't promise.
What year is this? What year is it?
1921. Everybody knows that.
Thank you. Thank you. 1921.
And here we have some of Amy's famous lemonade. Mmm. Isn't it good?
Mmm.
I never knew if the boys were coming over for me. Or for the lemonade.
Julia. Julia.
What is it?
I'm so happy.
Oh, now just excuse me. Hello?
Julia?
Oh, what is it called, Jean?
Julia, are you all right?
Sure. Why?
Well, some man placed a call from your home just before.
Yeah?
And he sounded just a tiny bit peculiar to me.
Oh, come on, Claudine.
I was just wondering, should I call Sheriff Gates?
Sometimes you are so silly.
Well, better be silly than sorry.
Good night. Eric, what did you say to scare Claudine?
Claudine?
The telephone operator.
I admit, I sounded crazy.
What did you say?
I asked her what year it was.
Oh, why do you have to keep asking? Don't you know?
Julia, I could never explain it. And you could never understand.
Then why bother?
I want to stay here, Julia.
Here?
Here.
Well, how would it look?
Well, we could get married.
But I...
You what?
There's Jamie.
World War I has been over for 3 years now.
What'd you call it? World War I?
If you haven't found him in those 3 years...
Why did you call it World War I?
He has got to be dead.
Why did you call it World War I?
Because in 20 years there's going to be World War II.
What? You're joking. Listen, there can't be any more wars. After all we went through, well, people aren't that stupid.
Do you believe that?
So what else can you believe?
Julia, you have got to tell me. Do you love Jamie?
Well, what business is that of yours?
I have to know.
We kept company for a while, and when he left for France, he asked me to wait for him, and could I say no?
Are you in love with him?
Oh, I don't know.
Are you in love with him?
Well, no. But I promise
you
that
you can't make that kind of promise. You can't give him what you don't have. And what you don't have for him is love.
Well, how do you know?
Because you love me.
Well, what makes you think that I...
You love me, Julia. You have to love me.
Why?
Because it's right. Because it makes sense. It simply has got to be.
Oh, Eric.
Don't waste time, Julia. There is so little time. People don't realize how little time they really have. Come on.
Where?
For a walk.
Well, there's no place to go.
Oh, yes, there is. We'll go to town.
Well, there's nothing doing.
Yes, I'll show you.
You are having so much trouble with that, though. Oh.
I can't get used to the way these gears shift.
Well, here we are.
It's beautiful.
Well, nothing ever happens here. There's the drugstore, and the hay and feed store, and the moving picture house. And they just took the sidewalks in for the night. That's a local joke, Eric. Oh, and the train.
Well, let's stop at the station.
Well, if somebody flags it down. Uh-oh.
What's the matter?
Oh, it's old Lady Haskins. I don't want her to see me out with a fella. It'd be all over town. Take me home, Eric.
Just sit by me for a while. Why am I thinking of a certain poem?
I don't know.
Why do I see the words? From too much love of living, from fear and hope set free, we thank with brief thanksgiving whatever gods there be, that no life lives forever, that dead men rise up never, that even the weariest river winds somewhere safe to see.
Oh, I like that.
I believe it.
That no life lives forever. That dead men rise up never.
That even the weariest river
winds somewhere safe to see. Would you write that down for me, Eric?
Of course, darling,
of
course.
Here's paper and pencil.
That no life lives forever.
Oh, Eric. Eric, I know now. I know in my heart that Jamie is dead. And I'm glad. I shouldn't have said that. But you see, now I know that our love, which is so sweet to us, will cause no one else pain.
And even the weariest river winds somewhere safe to see. Here.
Oh, Eric. This is the first gift you ever gave me.
We're safe. We're safe here. It's just as I dreamed it would be.
Oh, that must be Dad calling from Washington, D.C. He's probably going to tell me about his meeting with the president. Well, I'll have more important news for him. And I want you to say hello to Dad. Hello, Daddy? Daddy?
Julia.
Oh, who is this?
Julia.
Jamie!
Yes, Julia. It's Jamie.
And now, among the beautiful sounds of this beautiful world, we hear introduced a new note. And we know very well it must be a note of discord. And was the poet right? Is it true that dead men rise up never? Where has Jamie come from? And where is he going? I shall have the answers when I return shortly with Act 3.
I want that sinus medicine.
Headache tablets?
No, sinus medicine. Sinus tablets. Helps the headache and the pressure.
Oh, you mean sign-off.
Exactly.
Headache pain is one thing. A sinus headache is something else. Sometimes your whole face can seem to throb with pain. You want relief. Take sign-off tablets. S-I-N-E-O-F-F. The sinus medicine that gives you a full dose of pure aspirin plus a sinus drainer. Sign-off. The sinus medicine that helps relieve sinus pain while you drain. And sign-off doesn't stop there. Have you tried Sign-Off Sinus Spray, the fastest known form of sinus congestion relief? It works in seconds. That's Sign-Off Sinus Spray. When sinus flares up, use Sign-Off tablets and spray only as directed.
S-I-N-E-O-F-F.
Sign-Off.
Exactly.
Sign-Off, the sinus medicines in the bright red box.
Who knows what troubles lurk in the hearts and minds of consumers?
Irene, this new sofa is gone already, and...
Why, what's that inside the cushion, John? Oh, my heavens, it's crumpled newspaper. How did we ever buy a sofa like this? What can we do?
I'll tell you what to do.
Who are you, sir?
I'm the man from your Better Business Bureau. When you shop for furniture, it's what's inside that counts. Fancy coverings can hide a variety of shoddy workmanship. Read the law label that must be stitched to the furniture. It will tell you the filler material used and buy from a reputable dealer.
Oh, thank you, sir. We'll know better next time.
Not at all, ma'am. Just another tip from your Better Business Bureau.
Suddenly, it's 1921 for Eric Mills, who wasn't even born then. 1921, a year of innocence and, most important, peace. Not just the absence of war, but peace. And Eric Mills has somehow sought it out as a refuge from the deceptions and the dejections of the jet age. He has even found Julia, but so has Jamie. Julia's doughboy fiancé, who evidently didn't die at Chateau Thierry.
Jamie? Tell me you were dead.
They left me for dead. And for a long time, I didn't know who I was. And then I remembered. I remembered you. And I come home.
Jamie, I've got to...
I just got off the train.
Jamie, dear.
I'm coming home, Julia. I'm coming home to you. And I'll run from the station. finished, I'll run all the way.
Jamie, wait.
You remember how I could run all the way? I can run even faster.
Jamie, there is something I must tell you.
There is something I must tell you. I'll see you very soon.
It's Jamie. And he's alive.
Darling, you and I, we love each other.
That was before...
Before what?
Before I knew Jamie was alive.
Our love has nothing to do with anyone else.
Jamie still believes...
A lie.
Oh, don't say it that way.
How else can I say it? If you love me, then Jamie believes a lie.
Oh, Eric, please, go.
Go.
Quickly.
Why?
Before I get there.
No.
I'm frightened.
Don't be.
I'm frightened.
Here.
No, darling, I'm frightened. Not for me, for you.
Julia, there is nothing to be frightened of.
There is. You don't know him the way I do.
It doesn't matter.
He's got a violent temper. He'll be bad enough to kill you.
Well, I'll have something to say about that. Who says he can kill me?
Is it better if you kill him?
It's better for me.
Oh, Eric, I don't want you to...
To what?
To be hurt.
What can I do? I won't give you up.
Oh, I don't know what to do.
I am... Julia, you love me. I love you. We have a right to be happy.
And Jamie?
Sometimes there's only one way to say something. The only way I can say it is it's just too bad about Jamie.
But I don't want us to hurt him.
If Jamie is reasonable and sensible, why should anyone be hurt?
Eric, he's here. He's here.
Yes, darling.
Oh, I'm terribly frightened. Listen, Jamie is... crazy. He's always been a little bit crazy, but now...
Julia. Oh, Julia, darling, I've come back home.
Jamie. Hello, Jamie.
Hello, Jamie, is that all you can say?
Jamie,
Hey, who's this?
Jamie Parsons. Eric Mills.
Who are you?
He's a friend.
Well, that's not exactly true. I'm more than a friend. Julia and I plan to get married.
You what?
You heard what I said.
Never mind. Never mind what you said. I want to hear what Julia says. Well? Come on now, is it true?
Oh, Jamie.
Oh, Jamie, what? Now, is it or isn't it true?
Now, Jamie, you and me, we never will really formally engage.
That's right. I asked you to wait for me.
And I...
And you promised that you would.
Because you were going away.
Now, let's get this straight. You mean... You mean you are throwing me over for...
Listen, why don't we just all sit down and talk and tell him?
No. No, you aren't going to walk out on me. Now, never.
Just a minute.
Now, listen, I know you. You're slick and smart and smooth-talking, and you hang around while a guy is off doing something important while he's fighting for his country, and you take advantage...
That's not the way it happened at all. Why don't we talk about this, huh?
All right, buddy. Now, look, I don't know who you are, but this is your lucky night. Now, you won't get hurt. Provided you just walk out of here fast.
Look, I know how you feel, but she doesn't love you.
She's been in love with me since we were both 10 years old. Now, you tell him, Julia.
Jamie, listen.
But don't you see what she's trying to tell you? She doesn't love you.
Julia! Julia, you can't tell me that. He is not going to have you.
No. Jamie, don't. Please. Put that pistol away.
No, he won't have you.
Please don't kill him.
Why not?
Please.
Who deserves killing more, huh?
Jamie,
What do you think kept me alive all those months in the hospital thinking of you, dreaming of you, picturing how it would be when I got back home? Well, I am home now, and I know what I got to do.
I won't let you.
Get away from him.
No.
Listen, ain't that just your style, huh? Hiding behind a woman's skirts.
I don't have to hide anywhere. You.
Oh, yeah. I need someone to love me.
need someone to love me now. And now that Jamie's gone,
what can we do about Jamie?
There's only one thing I can do. Give myself up.
Oh, no, they'll put you in prison.
I have to pay for Jamie. I'll turn myself in.
No, Eric. Don't leave me. Don't leave me.
I have to do it.
Don't leave me.
Wait for me, Julia. Will you wait for me? I'm looking for the sheriff.
Eric. Now, Eric, boy, you...
The sheriff. Where's the sheriff? I killed the man.
You didn't kill anybody.
Eric.
Where am I?
Eric, dear, drink this.
Now, what has gotten into you?
I killed a man.
What are you saying?
Who?
His name is Jamie. Jamie Parsons. We were having a fight over this girl I told you about, Julia Sanford.
Eric, you have got to listen now. Jamie Parsons was killed way back in 1920 or thereabouts.
No!
Please listen, Eric.
Don't tell me I'm crazy.
Eric, look, we found you wandering around on the road.
I was looking for the sheriff.
Eric, now way back after the First War, Jamie Parsons came home. Now, he was sweet on Julia Sanford. Now, he was also crazy. Maybe it was what they call shell shock in those days. But anyway, he tried to kill her, and somehow the gun went off and killed him.
No, I was there.
It was too much for Julia. After her father died, she shut herself up all alone. That big house, it just went to ruin, you know. She kind of lost her marbles.
Oh, you're talking about someone else.
Now, her dad, Big Jim, was my godfather. So we go over there regular now. We bring her food and we'll see that she's still alive.
All right, let me show you.
No, Eric. I think the time has come for us to show you.
No. This can't be the place. The lawns, the gardens, flowers, was like a park.
Eric, this is the Sanford place.
But the house, it's falling apart.
Now, you can see that...
But it was so beautiful just yesterday.
No, Eric, not yesterday. 50 years ago.
But I tell you,
Eric, dear, when we meet her, smile. She gets very upset if people don't smile.
Hear the bell. The doorbell, it's the same.
Who is it?
Morning, Miss Julie.
Who are you?
It's Jerry. You remember me, Miss Julie? I'm Jerry. Oscar Carraway's boy.
Oh, Jerry. How's your dad?
Why, just fine, Miss Julie, just fine.
My dad is still in Washington.
Huh?
I expect him home any time. But the president keeps him there. Oh, come in. Come in.
The phonograph.
Martha's here, too.
Well, I am so glad. How are you, Martha? Just fine, Miss Julia. And we brought a guest.
Oh, you know I don't like to meet strangers unless I have a chance to dress up first. Martha, you should have told me.
But he's not a stranger. Now, he's Ken. That's Martha's baby brother.
Oh, well, that's different.
His name is Eric.
Well, how do you do, Eric?
What do you do, Miss Julia?
Amy! Amy! Please bring a pitcher of lemonade and four glasses.
Eric, Amy's been dead 50 years. Eric. Now, I knew when Eric, once a sweet boy, was home from the war.
You mean Jamie?
No. His name was Eric. We were in love. So much in love. He didn't stay long.
You all right, Miss Julia? I mean, is there anything you need?
He wrote down a poem for me. I look at it every day. Every day. Read it. Read it, Eric. It is so beautiful. Oh, be careful. That paper's old and falling apart. Just like me. And the ink has faded. Can you read it?
From too much love of living. From hope and fear set free. We thank with brief thanksgiving, whatever gods there be, that no life lives forever. That dead men rise up never. That even the weariest river winds somewhere safe to sea.
La vida es sueño. Life is a dream, as the Spanish poet said. And even dreams are dreams. In that case, when are we dreaming? When are we awake? If we can't tell for sure who we are, how can we possibly know who we were? But whether here or in a dream, I, at least, shall be back shortly.
Here's a medical puzzle. A person has a deadly disease, yet leads a normal life. How is it possible? The answer is chemotherapy. Through this treatment, thousands of cancer victims regain active, productive lives despite their cancer. Many of these people can continue in their jobs for years, while the anti-cancer drugs, which we call chemotherapy, control their disease. But many types of cancer remain difficult to control. Through research, the Chemotherapy Foundation is stimulating the development of new drugs. More types of cancers will someday be controlled. The question is not if, but when. You can help by contributing to the Chemotherapy, that's Chemo, C-H-E-M-O, Therapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. That's the Chemotherapy Foundation, Box 8, New York, New York, 128. This is a public service message from the Chemotherapy Foundation.
Well, to complete our expedition into poetry, the greatest poet of them all said, "All the world's a stage, and all of us are players." And so this raises the logical question. Are we a permanent cast? Do we keep coming back to play the roles for which we are best suited? Have we led these lives before? Well, you just listen to us again, and for an hour anyhow, you'll be able to lead a brand new life. Our cast included Tony Roberts, Bryna Rayburn, Marion Seldes, and Earl Hammond. The entire production was under the direction of Hyman Brown. And now, a preview of our next tale.
And we are left with all the dirty work.
What do you mean?
The time has really come for you to stop asking the very answerable question. In the name of medicine and research, we gather bodies, right?
But that is no crime. Using already dead flesh, which can render up to us secrets of how to handle living flesh, is not a valid crime.
On that basis, you have an argument. If the flesh is already moribund, but body snatching is a rewarding crime, and if there is no dead body to snatch, with the kind of man who plies this trade, do you think he would hesitate to wait for the flesh to die if his source of supply ran low?
Oh, good Lord, what do you say?
If your conscious brain will not admit the truth, your subconscious one knows it. And you signed for the bodies tonight.
Radio Mystery Theater was sponsored in part by Anheuser-Busch Incorporated, brewers of Budweiser. This is E.G. Marshall inviting you to return to our Mystery Theater for another adventure in the macabre. Until next time, pleasant dreams.
KOIN in Portland, it's 12 midnight. CBS News. Authorities in Sri Lanka, formerly Ceylon, say it appears no one survived Wednesday's crash of a chartered Dutch airliner. This is Doug Poling reporting on the CBS radio network. Rescue workers have not been able to reach the site of the crash, a rugged hilltop about 70 miles south of the international airport at Colombo. Police say it appears all 191 people on the plane were killed. The Dutch plane was carrying Muslims from Indonesia on a pilgrimage to the Holy City of Mecca. If all aboard were killed, it would be the second worst air accident in history. The worst occurred last March when 346 people were killed in the crash of a Turkish jetliner near Paris. More news in a moment.
The French call it an apéritif. In America, it's the appetizer you drink. Either way, Dubonnet goes before.
Before it's the time to think about some Dubonnet to drink.
It all started in France, of course. And whether you call it an apéritif or an appetizer, the proper time to drink it is before. Before lunch, before dinner at cocktail time, before whatever you've got cooking. It's the wine you drink to whet your appetite. Dubonnet Before, made to make what comes after that much better.
Before, yeah, before. It's the time before for Dubonnet.
Of USA, Dubonnet Company, New York, New York.
Chairman Wilbur Mills of the House Ways and Means Committee continues to be hospitalized with an undisclosed ailment. Speculation continues that Mills stripped of his post as chairman of one of the most powerful committees in Congress, partly because of his friendship with stripper Fannie Fox. Associates of Mills say he may resign from the committee rather than be removed. The Democrats are getting ready to hold a meeting and make some policy decisions. Barry Serafin reports from Kansas City.
The Democrats' mini-convention doesn't open until Friday, but a convention rules committee is already at work deciding what will be put before the 2,000 delegates who will gather here. For one thing, the committee has approved placing an economic resolution before the convention, even though such a resolution has not yet been drawn up. It is expected to be based largely on and coordinated with speeches Friday by congressional Democratic leaders. The resolution, in effect a Democratic position paper on the economy, is expected to be broad enough to pass without lengthy debate and touch on proposals for public service employment for the unemployed, excess profits taxes, and related issues such as national health insurance and energy problems. As to the party charter, the Democrats are here to approve. Neither party regulars nor reform factions are entirely satisfied with proposed provisions, but the indications are that the mini-convention will not produce the fireworks of similar gatherings in the past. Barry Serafin, CBS News, Kansas City.
The House Judiciary Committee Wednesday continued its hearings into the appointment of Nelson Rockefeller as vice president. Among the witnesses was William Ronan, former head of the New York Metropolitan Transit Authority. Leslie Stahl reports.
Ronan told the committee that he accepted the $625,000 in gifts from, as he put it, my friend, who was also his employer, Nelson Rockefeller. But Ronan said there was nothing illegal, immoral, unethical, or corrosive about it. Some congressmen, including California's Charles Wiggins, took issue with that.
I think that you and the governor exercised poor judgment. It reflects adversely on the governor's judgment to make loans of this magnitude to public officials, in my opinion. It reflects adversely upon your judgment to solicit those loans, and secondly, to accept them, having been offered the money by the governor. The most precious quality any of us can bring to public service is good judgment. And I do not think that you or Governor Rockefeller exercised good judgment.
Committee Chairman Peter Rodino said Nelson Rockefeller will testify again tomorrow, and the committee will vote on his nomination no later than next Thursday. Leslie Stahl, CBS News, Washington.
Now this message. If you happen to live in one of the towns or areas which don't enjoy the brand name selection and economy of having a True Value hardware store nearby, you probably get awfully tired of hearing me say, "Hi, Pat Summerall here with another great value from True Value hardware stores." And that's understandable, because all the great values in the world won't do any good if you can't get to them. Well, do something about it. Next time you visit the local hardware, home center, or home and auto supply dealer, ask if he's ever considered joining the True Value Group. Tell him to drop me a note. Pat Summerall, CBS Radio, P.O. Box 50. That's CBS Radio, P.O. Box 50, Radio City Station, New York, for details. If your local dealer qualifies, he'll be able to start offering the kind of savings on brand name products which only a member of the nation's largest and fastest growing hardware chain can offer. Get the point? If a True Value hardware sign goes up in your town, you'll both be glad you had the idea. Motorists in Ireland got bad news Wednesday night. The government raised the tax on gasoline by roughly 32 cents a gallon. That'll bring the cost of a gallon of gasoline in Ireland to about $1.50, the action designed to reduce gasoline consumption. Doug Poling, CBS News.
There's a lot of newly wealthy people in Oregon, but there is at least one man who has turned his back on the money available. Edison Chiloquin, the hereditary tribal chief of the Klamath Indians, has refused to accept the check for $103,000 for his part of the $49 million government payment for tribal timberlands. He says it would be like selling my people, my dead people. However, there were some happy people among the more than 600 persons who received some of the money. The government purchased 234,000 acres of land from the tribe for inclusion in the Winnima National Forest, and Wednesday was the day many picked up their checks, mostly in Klamath Falls. Reporters and cameramen made a carnival atmosphere for the occasion. A date of December 17th has been set for the Lane County Circuit Court trial in which defeated County Commission candidate Archie Weinstein is challenging the November 5th election in which he was defeated by slightly more than 400 votes. The date was set by Judge Roland Rodman in an effort to comply with a 20-day statutory limitation on court action on election protest. Weinstein, in his suit, is charging Lane County Elections Department officials with irregularities pertaining to certain precincts, mainly in the University of Oregon area. He alleges unqualified voters were allowed to cast ballots. Circuit Judge Edward Levy is scheduled to rule Thursday on motions to strike certain allegations from his suit. The election was won by Eugene City Councilman Robert Wood, and a recount made no basic change in the outcome. The American Medical Association will ask Congress to require that persons who receive care under medical programs agree to arbitrate any dispute over their care instead of filing a malpractice suit. The request will be made to the stem of what the AMA considers a crisis in medical malpractice insurance. Portland City Commissioner Connie McCready became the fastest gavel in the West, at least west of the Willamette River, in the City Council chambers Wednesday. She took less than 1 minute to call the council to order for its regular formal meeting and then recess it until 9:30 a.m. Friday. The Portland Trailblazers of the NBA were in Landover, Maryland Wednesday night to take on the Washington Bullets. For Portland, it was their second road game in as many nights and their second loss in a row. From Landover, KOIN's Bill Shonley files this wrap-up.
At the Capitol Center in the nation's capital last night in an NBA basketball game, the Bullets were all over the Portland Trailblazers. The Blazers losing their second game on the road, their record even at 512-12. They lost the game to the Washington Bullets by a score of 114-87, losing by 27 points. Led by Elvin Hayes with his 14 rebounds, 25 points. Wes Unseld, his great board play and outlet passes setting up the fast break. 21 rebounds, though Wes only scored 6 points. 23 points, 6 assists, and 4 steals from Kevin Porter. 21 points from the outside shooting of Phil Chenier. The Blazers' leading scorer, Sidney Wicks, another fine night for Sid. He had 23 points in a losing cause, the leading rebounder with 12. And the Bullets did it, 114-87. What more can be said? A day off today, they'll take on Buffalo tomorrow. For KOIN Sports, this is Bill Connelly.
That game Friday with Buffalo will be heard live on KOIN AM with airtime at 4:40. Weather for the Portland metropolitan area, cloudy this morning, becoming partly sunny in the afternoon. Increasing clouds tonight with rain likely Friday. High temperature around 50, low tonight in the low 40s. Light winds today and the chance of measurable precipitation 10% today and 20% tonight. Currently in downtown Portland, the temperature reading is 50 degrees. And that's KOIN AM FM News at 10 past midnight. This is Alan Archer.